October 14th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 56.
Handsome, chiseled features with a smile that could light up a barn.
Why, thank you. Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Episode 56 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Wow. To share this joy with me is Steven. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
And in case you don't know, Steven is the pop culture zealot.
PCZ.
How does it feel to live a life of zealotry, Steven?
Fantastic.
Very exciting. I'm thank you for returning to the show this week. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good, thanks.
Had a fantastic week?
Yeah, I think so.
Good deal.
Up to my standards.
I mean, we had a lot of shows we watched, and we're going to talk about those later. Before that, may I introduce Vanessa, the Mulberry newswoman. How you doing,
Hello.
Vanessa?
I am great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
For those of you who are joining us for the first time, on Nowhere in Mulberry, we talk film, television, and pop culture, and pretty much anything that comes to our head. Anything that's in the news. First of all, like, I want to talk about that Mel Gibson was on Diane Sawyer this week. We all know about Mel Gibson, what happened earlier.
His big Jew rant, a few months ago.
He got pulled over drunk driving, and apparently he was really drunk. And
bad
he said a lot of
Jewish people.
Yeah, he said a lot of anti-Semitic things, and basically globally, everyone knows about it. The entire world knows about it, okay? I've been drunk enough before where the next day I was like, man, I was really an asshole last night. But think about that. If you did something like that and you're like, oh, I got to apologize to my friends or whatever. But instead it's like, oh, I got to apologize to planet Earth. You know, think about that. It's pretty bad.
An entire culture of people.
Yeah. So let's check out what Mel Gibson said to Diane Sawyer. And just a note, Diane Sawyer, her shit doesn't stink, just so you guys know.
Roses come out of her ass.
A day to remember.
How did that day start?
Much like any other day, I went to work. You know, saw a bunch of people.
First of all, I wish I had a voice this deep. I'd have a great,
I know, it's a nice voice.
I'd have a fantastic radio voice.
Screened his film for me.
And then what?
Well, of course, I guess I must have been a little overwrought. So, that's what happens. Too much pressure, too much work. You do things that go against good judgment, so...
Hey, who doesn't, right? It. Right, Steven?
A few drinks later, and I was
Steven,
in the back
I've
of
had
a
to bail
police
you out
car
a
wailing,
times, right?
So...
Yes,
yeah. A few drinks later, do you know how many?
No, I don't.
Yes, I counted them, Diane, thank you.
35.
How long have you been drinking again?
35 shots. A
couple months. Years go by, you're fine. And then all of a sudden, in a heartbeat, in an instant, on an impulse, somebody shoves a glass of mezcal in front of your nose and says, it's from Oaxaca, and you go, whoop! And it's burning its way through your esophagus, and you go, oh, man, what did I do that for? Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Burning your esophagus? Delicious.
Mezcal from Oaxaca.
That's another thing. Like, I've never been a liquor drinker. I've never understood how people could drink liquor. Like,
Mecca Lecca High, Mecca Heine O.
I'm not big on the whiskeys, but I'll shoot the tequila.
Never had whiskey.
When I drink beer, and... If I ever drank tequila, I never remembered the night before.
It's been off a girl's bed.
Steven, what are you talking about?
I have a bottle of Patron Platinum sipping tequila. It's like a $200 bottle of tequila.
Nice.
And I'm like, I refuse to open it. I just stare at it.
I think Mel was sipping back on tequiza, is what it was.
Where are you?
It's not a
little
question
Mike's
of
Heart Lemonade.
How drunk you
yeah.
are. You're
the pederast drink.
Your judgment is impaired enough to do insane things like try and drive at high speeds. Even a couple of drinks, you lose all humility. everything. It's just you become a braggart, then a blowhard. And
yeah, one of the things you said was about owning Malibu.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yes. Owning. I own this place, as I sat in the back of a police car with my hands cuffed on.
And then, as the officer arrested him, a tirade against Jews.
Take me back to that moment as you remember.
How did she break in our own interview? I gotta learn to do that. I'm talking, but then I'm like, but wait a second, Jason. And then I interrupt myself.
You know what's amazing?
That's
he
genius.
He owns Malibu, yet he hates Jews.
Did you know him? Did you know he was Jewish?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
He smelt of it.
I find out later. But that's,
he was wearing a yarmulke.
Why would you have asked him that?
I was blind drunk. I couldn't read his name tag.
All, I didn't know if he was
it
or wasn't.
Epstein,
I mean, I said
on
horrible
it.
Things to him. And he was pretty patient.
These are the words.
Mm-hmm.
How horrible here does he think they were?
There's a break in
I read to him the officer's account of the words he
that
used
you?
That night. Expletive Jews.
For are those like a special sect of Jews? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jews?
There's Hasidic and expletive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds horrible. And I'm ashamed of that. That came out of my mouth. And I'm not that. That's not who I am, you know.
We have a world in which alcohol is used
sure.
to excuse behavior.
It's always, well, alcohol is used to kill pain. And and it is no excuse, by the way. It's not a good enough excuse.
If the police officer had been black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know.
What would you have said?
Who knows? I'd have to get loaded again and tell you, and then be in
are
those
conditions
again. Are you
an African American, sir?
Because it's unpredictable what's going to come flying out.
At the police station, still angry, he said to a female sergeant, "What do you think you're looking at?" Adding a reference to her breast.
I've heard people say, you know, I am a...
What did he say exactly to her?
What are you looking at, sugar tits?
Wow. I like how Diane Sawyer, she wholesomes it up, though.
I think sugar tits is a compliment.
Happy drunk until I snap for no reason and just turn.
Where does this anger come from?
I have no idea. Just I've been angry all my life. You try and...
Well, you know, everyone has
keep
demons.
A lock on it. And it really isn't...
It's that damn Indian that owns the store down the street.
We all have our demons.
Don't talk about my demons because they're here.
Don't make me
angry,
Mr. McGee.
I can murder inanimate objects.
Murder inanimate objects.
You should see me choking the toaster in the morning. Yeah. You know.
So, I mean, we know that Mel Gibson, basically he was an alcoholic. He quit drinking for a long time. He fell off the wagon, like, big time. He had a bender, basically. And, you know, he's sorry about what he said. He may be anti-Semitic. He may be that way. I don't think it's anything he would have said unless he was really drunk, though.
Right.
You know? I don't right. care who he hates. He makes good movies. That's all that matters to me.
So he got me a little green. See? I mean, I just got out of the straitjacket with the messy hair and everything.
The mugshot.
Yeah, the mugshot. The first thing that went through my mind was, like, Nick Nolte's photograph. So I did my best with a finger combing in the water fountain to sort of like splash a little water on my face to
poor Nick Nolte.
Not take one of those hideous mug shots because I knew it would be around.
That picture is infamous, man. It's like the Unabomber or something. That bad Nick Nolte picture. The thing is, he's in a catch-22 because when he does apologize, people are like, he has to apologize just because he needs to repair his career or whatever.
But then they won't believe it.
Yeah, I think...
You'll have the 50-50 people.
I think he genuinely feels bad for what he did. And regardless of his personal feelings about certain cultures or races or whatever, I think he is sorry. It's almost like, how many people
you think
do you
he's
know?
Sorry, more sorry that he just got caught saying it?
No, I think he's genuinely sorry. But how many people do you know, friends or whatever, but something comes out, like a personal belief, like they may say something racist, and you're like, whoa, where the hell did that come from? People keep it bottled up, and sometimes it comes out, it's something you don't want to see. At least he's apologizing for it. Can you watch Apocalypto and just forget about all that stuff?
I could watch a movie without yeah,
can you, Vanessa?
Yeah,
I think I can too. I think I can get over that and you know, enjoy him as an artist still. Do you think
now if I was Jewish?
See, that's another thing. We're not Jewish, so you never know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But now, what I want to know, guys, is did the chicks on The View forgive Mel Gibson? Let's check it out.
Personally, I have to say I can't stand him.
Really,
I can't stand him.
Feel that
and I think
right
that
now.
You should do a special: the 10 people you'll meet in hell.
Wow!
Whoa.
Are you serious? Give me Billy, what is it? What I know he said horrible things, but you have no compassion or forgiveness for him at all.
No. Not right now. Okay. He was driving drunk, right?
Yes.
He
had
an open
bottle of tequila in the car with him.
Okay.
He has seven children. Just
right.
based
just,
on that.
I just think we should also focus on that, too. I think that that's equally as bad as everything he said.
Thank you, you pumpkin.
I think you
bitch.
Should be more upset with him for driving drunk than what he said, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. God, that's really all that cat, all that, you know, that show is a bunch of cats. it's like Charlie Brown's teacher with the wah, 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 wah. Yeah.
Now, guys, enough of that negativity on our show. Our show is about joy and happiness. And we got a new voicemail. I think we should all check it out. I'll tell you right now, it's a Eugene voicemail. Eugene has finally called us. And apparently a lot of things have built up over time. Because you remember episode 50, we made a joke about him being in a crate, kind of touching himself. And also this whole thing with Vanessa. Did Vanessa date him or not?
Constant rubbing against my manhood.
Yeah, there's just a whole bunch of things that I guess he needs to say, and let's go ahead and check it out. You guys will hear.
Hello, Mulberry guys. There's some things I gotta tell you. You know, I hadn't called in a while because I've been pretty pissed off. And I don't know what your problem is, lying and lying and lying about me. I do not masturbate in a box, okay? That's not me. You lie, and I don't play with snakes for your train. I do not touch snakes of any kind. Arrest me on this. I did have a date with Vanessa, and she is lying to me. It was great. I loved Vanessa long. And I loved her strong.
Oh, dear.
And I loved her all night long. Now, I don't know what kind of crap she's pushing on you, but we're in love. So just, Vanessa, stop lying. Come out of your closet. And let's end this thing, okay? Let's just make the announcement to everybody that we're together. This is a real deal. Damn it. I'm in my car. Not some
back. Sounds like he's in a toilet.
Small coming in. Yeah. Damn it. Damn it. Just trust me, okay? Just. Oh, damn it.
Okay. So, Vanessa, do you have any response to this?
How does one respond to that?
Go back to the closet.
It's long and strong and all night long.
Yeah, jumbo.
Nice. Well, thanks, Eugene. At least
in
we know
Wilma
you're
Deering
still alive.
Outfit.
Yeah. Eugene has made an appearance again. We know he's alive and well, and he's exactly the same as he always has been.
A little angry. That was an alternate universe, Eugene, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Eugene. Yeah. But I think he half listens. If he hears his name, he's like, "What are they saying about me?" And then. Yeah. Before we move on to entertainment, I just wanted to congratulate Andy from the Hollywood Saloon and his wife, Annie Mae. They just had a baby. They just had a baby daughter that they named Courtney, and I just wanted to congratulate them on that.
Congratulations.
Damn it!
All right, guys, Christopher Nolan has directed a new film. You know Christopher Nolan. He did Memento, and he did Batman Begins. I started seeing commercials on TV for this new movie called The Prestige, and I was like, what the hell is that? What is this movie? Mm-hmm. But it has Christian Bale, it's got Hugh Jackman, and it's got Michael Caine. Michael Caine. That's my Michael Caine impression. You like that, Steven?
It's awesome.
Uncanny.
It also has Scarlett Johansson. She's in every movie now, right?
She's in everything.
I was like, what is The Prestige? What is this? And then finally, I paid attention to the trailer, and Michael Caine tells me what it is. Let's go ahead and check it out.
Shoot me. Come on.
No, I can't.
Do it! How'd you like that?
Well, how'd you do it?
Magic.
I'll perform this feat in a manner never before seen by yourselves or any other audience anywhere in the world.
The audience loved it.
This trick is top notch.
You need to celebrate.
A real magician tries to invent something new. It's something that other magicians will scratch their heads over.
I suppose you have such a trick.
As you do. It's the one they're going to remember me for.
What happened?
It was the greatest magic trick I've ever seen. I need to know how he does it.
He has no trick. It's real.
Every great magic trick consists of three acts. The first act is called the pledge. The magician shows you something ordinary, but of course, it probably isn't. The second act is called the turn.
He's obsessed with discovering your method.
The magician makes this ordinary something do something extraordinary. Huh. Now you're looking for the secret, but you won't find it. That's why there's a third act called the prestige. This is the part with the twists and turns, where lives hang in the balance.
Julie, come on!
And you see something shocking you've never seen before. This was built by a man who can actually do what magicians pretend to do.
Real magic.
I know what you really are!
How does he do it?
What is he?
You want the truth.
Nothing is
impossible. I gotta know!
He's the devil! Never get
that, bro. With that voice, I thought he was a chimney sweep.
Secret.
Secrets of my life.
I'm scared.
Ticking clock scare me. Means time's now, when running
I
out.
When I first saw about this movie, I was like, I'm not sure it interests me that much. But I love Christopher Nolan, and he's got a great group of actors. I'm going to check it out. I think it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Christian Bale fan, and I love him doing a lovable chimney sweep Cockney accent. I'm there. That's awesome. So what do you guys, want to check it out? Let's go.
Mulberry Cineplex.
On that note, let's check out what's on our TiVos.
You know, what about me?
All right, guys. You remember a couple of weeks ago, the Daily Show did a little gag on Carl Monday. They pulled him aside. They made fun of him. Put him on the spot. Stuck a mic in his face. Carl Monday thought he would be funny. He got his cameraman. He got his microphone, his trench coat ready. And he confronted them. And they both stuck mics in their faces. Really, I think this is a better interview than they actually had on The Daily Show. They just wanted some laughs in there. But he really asked questions that I wanted to know, like what did Carl Monday really think of his story? Did he really think he was doing great journalism? Let's check it out real quick.
What do you say to people who say, hey man, you saved that kid's life. You know, he was probably going to go blind or grow hair on his palms.
Well, he did. You know, he could have spent a life of masturbation and, you know, going from one library to another, and now he's probably home doing the same thing. But
that's a great answer.
We kept him safe, kept the public safe, and basically that's our job.
He kept us safe.
I mean, this kid probably, he lives at home with his parents, probably had nowhere to so he goes to the library to watch some porn, and, you know, you got him!
But the thing is, the library knew he was doing it. He did it before. And that's what the basis of the story was, that these places are not safe, and the library is not looking out for them.
The library's in cahoots with the masturbators.
And that was the basis of the story. It wasn't just the story of Michael Cooper.
It's not just for
reading. Okay, that was the first story. What about the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth?
What about it?
I mean, they were great, too.
Well, we had to follow through. You got to follow up on the story. If the guy goes to court, you got to cover it. You know, just like we would any other story.
Cover his court and his bail and then, you know, pursue him at home and harass his parents.
Well, see, that's where I think you got it wrong because we never wanted to talk to the parents. They approached us. We were talking to Michael Cooper in his front yard and his parents came out and confronted us.
Steve,
and the second time, we made arrangements with with his attorney to do an interview with him, and he apparently agreed, and we were going to interview him after the court case.
And, absolutely
and
not.
After he was let out of the court, he just darted out the back door, and we went following after him. That's all.
And how do you respond to critics who call you a hack journalist?
Well, nobody in Cleveland's called me that. I've been here 30 years, and people seem to like what
no
I do.
No one wants you to investigate them.
There's reports on the internet, T-shirts now, I don't know if you know about this, that say Carl, what's your last name?
Monday.
Carl Monday is watching.
That's a tough one to remember, I know.
Carl Monday, what's your name, is watching, sir? You masturbate.
Carl Monday.
What do you think about that?
Hey, you can print whatever you want, you know, I don't care. It's up to them.
It's on T-shirts.
I'm not getting a piece of the action here. I want to make it clear, I'm not getting any profit out of these T-shirts.
Hey, Steven, I'll get back to you in about
15
minutes.
Steven, get off the phone! We're trying to do a show. Always on the phone. But I thought it was good they put him on the spot, but that's obviously not a good interview for TV. Probably all the background noise and stuff. But, hey, I don't care. I'll play it on the show.
Anything with Carl Monday.
That's right, baby. And basically, he's got nothing. When he said, the parents, we didn't try to go to them. They came up to us. Yeah, right. They followed Mike Cooper home, and they were there, and that's why the parents came out. So, okay, Carl, your 15 minutes is over. Goodbye.
Until you interview another masturbator or drunk.
Yes, then give us a call. Now, guys, The Bachelor Rome is back again, and this is a great show because... I've never seen anyone so drunk in my life on TV. And just so you guys know, when you hear the thud at the end of this, that's the chick passing out on the floor. Okay.
Awesome.
I never laughed so hard as an entire trip.
I am.
Because I've been laughing so hard.
Don't.
But I'm hot. They're like pink.
No.
No, we don't want to see those.
If I don't get a rose tonight, then I wouldn't get a rose down the long line of all of this.
I trust him, don't say.
Honestly,
she dry heaving.
This is so nauseating.
Up.
I have no underwear on.
Oh,
classy.
Well, at least she makes it easy access for whatever we.
Yeah. I love that everything she says is not understandable at all, and the other ladies are just kind of pushing her off of her. She's trying to hang on, and she's just talking. I don't understand a damn word she's saying.
She's asking about pancakes or something. And
I think it'd be cool if The Bachelor was like, hey, I got my lady. That's her.
I love slutty drunk chicks that don't wear underwear.
Yeah.
Pass out, have your way with her. She'll never know.
Right. Personally, I have to say I can't stand him.
Whoa, hey, Joey Behar, ain't you, Steven? What do you have?
That's not me, it's Bachelor doing that.
I don't know, I think it's you she was talking about.
I'm just talking for The Bachelor.
10 people you'll meet in hell.
Whoa! All right, so...
Yeah, I'm sure Mel Gibson will be sitting right down there next to him.
I'm guessing she'll be one of her. She'll be one of the 10 because she's going to meet us in hell.
Yeah. This is so nauseating.
All right, guys, a great show premiered, and I don't know about you, but if I had a show, I wouldn't want it to be on CBS, NBC. I'd want it to be on TV Land, just like Mr. T, baby. He's got a new show, and it's called I Pity the Fool. That's right. And what Mr. T does is he helps you. If you got a problem, Steven, Mr. T...
I'm going to call him up.
If you're trying to buy a car and you can't haggle with the guy, you know, because they try to get you to buy that true coat and they try to get you to buy all that extra stuff, Mr. T will do it for you so you don't have to.
I want him to haggle my new salary from my boss or something.
Mr. T will do it for you, Steven. And you better pity that fool once he gets
Do I have to give him like 10% or something, you know?
I don't think so. He gets quite a hefty salary from TV Land. Let's check this out.
And to me, that don't seem like a good deal.
Let's I'm ready to work. Let's do this.
All right.
Tell me something. What are you looking to spend? The car is 26.3.
All right. Now 33 off. That's just $35. That's chump change. We won't even talk about that $35.
So you want me to take off $35 right off the bat?
$35? You gonna lose a deal with $35?
You can't just come off and say take off $35, Mr. T.
We hustling about $35? Man, my lunch is $35.
Your lunch is not mine. If I don't make money, I'm not gonna have that $35 meal, Mr. T. I'm not gonna have that meal.
It's chump change.
Okay. T-vote.
I didn't understand a single word of that.
It's like
all I thought was chump change and $35.
We got the Bachelor clip, and then this one. None of them make any sense.
That's chump change.
It's a chump change. It's a good thing we're not being reviewed, you guys. We get a horrible review.
And when did it become I pity the fool? I thought it was I pity the fool. Treat your mother right.
Now, did anyone check out Heroes this week? Please tell me
yes,
you did.
Of course.
I'm still watching the show.
I'm in it for the long haul.
Yeah, it's been 3 episodes that I got to tell you I'm hooked. In fact, the more I read about the show and just all the people involved in it, the more excited I get, which is kind of silly because it's got writers who worked on Alias. It's got Greg Grunberg from Alias, people who are friends with Damon Lindelof from Lost and J.J. Abrams. But when it comes down to it, the show has got me captivated. I'm very interested in the different mysteries surrounding everything. Especially Hiro, the Japanese guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever this guy is on screen, there was a scene here where he's trying to explain to his friend, look, you're in this comic book, and we're supposed to save this little girl. That scene was great, how he uses the power, he freezes time. What I love about him is he's excited about his power. You know, he gets to be childlike and enthusiastic about it. He's a great character. But they also have the Ali Larder character, Nikki, who... I don't know what. She's got all sorts of problems. And we still don't know exactly what her power is. Something with her mirror image, like we were talking about last week.
She's got the darker side in her.
And she owes a lot of money to somebody. But we also learned...
Is it her or her husband who has disappeared?
Right, because that's what we learned, is that her husband is a very bad person. Apparently he had a gang or something. And they all wore these skull rings or something. And she found him buried in the desert. She thinks that he killed all of his...
all of his gang members.
All of his... Apparently they committed some crime together. Now he's in jail, but he escaped.
Do you think her
husband has some kind of power too? Look at her son. Her husband's black.
Well, obviously, look at the mother-in-law.
You're such a racist.
Right, I know. I'm going to apologize for that later. But guys, I am shit-faced right now, all right? Now... Let's skip ahead to Greg Grunberg. Apparently he's having a bad deal with his wife, but he's there at the police station. Remember, he got arrested last week, and he explains himself to the cop that basically I can read minds. So she's like, hey, you want to work for the FBI? And we can go question the girl.
You can read her
mind or whatever. But right then, the girl's being kidnapped by some mysterious figure. And I thought this scene was cool because she talked about people have been impaled on things. How can they do that? It looks like this guy, Siler, do you guys believe that was Siler there who took the girl?
Yes.
He can manipulate minds, he can apparently levitate things, and apparently bullets don't hurt him because Matt Parkman, Greg Grunberg's character, shoots him like 5 times or something.
And he's a Jedi.
And he like lifts away, he levitates away, or he flies. I don't know what the hell's going on. I thought that was very interesting.
So this guy has like discovered his power earlier than anyone else.
What I was going to say is he has more than one power. So do you guys think when he's eating brains of superpowered people, he acquires their abilities?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably.
So Matt Parkman goes home and his wife wants to hear none of his crap. So she basically throws him out. Or she thinks in her head, I wish he would leave. So he's like, all right, I'm out of here.
All right, that's it.
And he goes to a bar.
Bitch!
Goes to a bar and he can hear everyone's thoughts. And he turns around, there's a mysterious black man. I'm going to say right now, that's Nikki's husband. I think it is.
You think he might be Siler?
No.
I think he's a red herring.
But I think he's mysterious, and he's black!
He's mysterious. The black mysterious man.
Now let's
it's a whole club, he knows the one on Jericho.
Right, because Bill and I have been talking about this a lot. On Jericho, there's a mysterious black man. And we're like, what's with all the mysterious black men? And I even looked up on Heroes and IMDb for that actor. He's listed as Mysterious Man. So he's meant to be mysterious.
This is the year of the mysterious black men.
Yes, it is. Okay, we also have Peter of the Flying Petrelli Brothers.
Love those Flying Petrelli Brothers.
And his brother, of course, Adrian Pasdar, he's running for Congress. Is that what it is?
Senate seat like or something, yes.
Yeah, he's got to announce to everybody, like, hey, my brother, he suffered depression just like my dad. He tried to kill himself. Did you like how he did that?
Yeah, just hung him out
to
dry.
He shot his wheels off in front of everyone. And he was feeling good about himself.
He was about to mack on this chick. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you just tried to kill yourself. So he takes off. He's all upset. And his brother's do you think his brother's going to be kind of a villain? Or he's just a shady guy?
Just a jerk.
Like, not everyone on the show is really good or bad. They're just regular people, right? But yeah. One of my favorite things about Hero is he's trying to convince his buddy that, you know, he has powers and stuff. But also, he's trying to warn that artist. And this is one of my favorite parts right here. I just thought it was hilarious.
Hello? I can't understand a word you're saying. You stop calling me here. You've got the wrong number. Wrong number.
Keeps calling to warn this guy.
His like, buddy's the one who speaks English, but yet he's the one yeah. calling.
It's like, just slow down a second, have your buddy call him, all right? And what's cool, it's a really cool element, and you guys answer this for me. His comic book, does it have blank pages that keep filling in, or is it already complete?
It's already done.
It's complete, because he's already, he's seen the future.
Okay, because I was just wondering, because it seems like there's more to each page that they keep showing.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. Like, how come he doesn't, like, skip to the end?
Yeah.
Why does he have to do everything in the book?
No, remember he did. In the office, he skipped a few pages ahead, and he showed, look, we have to save this little girl.
Right.
And they went down to the little thing, and that was ahead.
Yeah, and then at the very end, it says they're going to Las Vegas or whatever.
And he skips ahead to the next page, and he shows the big woman in between falling asleep, and all of a sudden she falls over.
Yeah. And why does he have to run a Nissan Versa?
Nissan Versa!
Because it's in the comic book.
And also, I was telling Jason earlier this week, that was the most blatant advertisement for a car since
and iPod. Blatant iPod advertising, too. Looking at porn on the video iPod. Or he's looking at Nikki on there. And you notice it said NikkiVegas.com. If you go there, it takes you directly to the Heroes forum, where the message board and everything.
So, Nikki Vegas does.
In the episode, whenever Hero's buddy found out that they're going to Vegas, he's like, oh yeah, let's go to Vegas.
Yeah, he's like, oh.
But first we have to go to Vegas.
Yeah, I love that, how it looks like paths are going to cross. But also we got the cheerleader chick, Claire.
Well, Hero knows that they all have to hook up.
His comic book issue ends there. So I bet you as soon as they get to Vegas, he's going to have to go to a comic store and see if the new issue's out. Or how's that going to work? I don't know.
The girlfriend of the artist said that you need to stop because you're already behind on your next issue.
Ah, yeah. See, there's things that you miss and you got to watch it more than once. But Claire, the cheerleader who's indestructible, you know, her dad, the creepy guy, but she's more interested in guys like the quarterback who apparently is a date rapist, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he just happens to be a date rapist.
Yes.
Come on. But aren't all quarterbacks really? Yeah.
I like how she's dead, full on dead, you know, all of a sudden they pull the spike out of her neck.
And then the blood comes back to her face.
Yeah,
and she's
that
like,
I didn't quite understand.
Because
like she can snap her neck on a football field and fix it.
Well,
yet if she gets something stuck in her neck, until
but if you look closely, it's in her brain. It's like jammed in her skull.
That's what I'm saying. Whatever it was cutting off the whatever it was that kept her from healing.
The first episode, her ribs were sticking out. Maybe she has to like replace things in order to heal properly.
I guess.
I don't know. Maybe we'll figure it out later. There's like other things. Maybe their powers aren't as simple as we think. Like it was a reveal that Hero could travel through time. I just thought he could teleport, but he could also travel through time. He's like one of the coolest powers in the show. But we also don't know about Peter. He can't seem to fly anymore. He keeps trying to fly. They show him at a park, and he keeps trying to jump and fly, and a kid's just standing there watching him, and he keeps hitting the ground.
I'm wondering if he can't fly, his brother can fly, and he's like seeing through his brother's eyes or something. He can kind
of...
Yeah, there's
he levitated at the end of the one episode.
Yeah, remember? Maybe... Well, I'm thinking, remember, he was pissed off at his brother when he did it. Maybe he has to be pissed off to fly.
Or it just hasn't developed fully.
Pissed
yeah, it's
got to
be
scared.
Dealing with his emotions.
Yeah.
I think we just need to concentrate on that.
Yeah. There's something about the show, they've gotten the Lost formula down pretty well. But also,
well, they've got enough of a connection.
But they give you a little more info.
Yeah,
than...
they're not annoying me as much as like Lost can do.
Yeah, they're not annoying me at all. I mean, because it's give you a tease.
Right. All right. Before we move on to Smallville talk, Bill, did you check out Veronica Mars this week? Because I know I did.
Yeah, I love Veronica Mars.
And I know Bill loved this episode more than regular Veronica Mars episodes. And I'll let you guys hear why. Let's check it out.
So the question on the dance floor, how long must a girl play drunk and willing before someone tries to get her to take off her clothes?
The 70s had the hustle, the 80s, the moonwalk. We have the faux lesbian dance.
Yeah.
A surveillance camera hanging over a blocked door. Yeah, that's not weird. If none of the guys in the room are going to take the bait, maybe whoever's watching through this camera will.
I'll take the bait.
You didn't tell me there was a camera! Come on, come up here!
Why don't you come down? I want to show you something.
But it was a great episode.
Was that the audience from The Price is Right?
Yeah, boo! Because Veronica was pretending to be drunk and dancing all provocatively in front of everyone, so they think she was totally wasted because she's investigating date rape on campus, essentially.
Ah.
And I think Claire can help her out with that. It's the school quarterback! Just wait and see.
But rape. It's the new great storyline.
Yeah, that's kind of. There's something very uneasy about that. The
quarterback date rapist.
Yeah, something not right about that. Okay, let's move past that. I love Veronica Mars. Everyone should be watching it. Do you agree with me, Bill? It's a great show.
Absolutely, great show.
Now another great show is Smallville, and I'll tell you why. You remember on the first episode when Clark leaves the Phantom Zone, some things followed him out. And apparently, since we've had enough meteor rock freaks, kryptonite meteors, now we have Phantom Zone freaks that are going to be showing up all season.
Sweet.
Trust me. Because apparently, the show starts with Chloe and Jimmy Olsen at Makeout Point, and they begin making out.
Well,
why are they there in the first
do.
Place? Are they doing a story or something, Bill? I can't
something,
remember.
Something there was something suspicious going on in the woods.
Right.
And Jimmy Olsen wanted to go there with.
And they start making out. And then see this couple run into the woods. Then a scream. And the chick is impaled on a Oh, wait, it's Siler. That's who it is. Oh, wait, wrong show. But it turns out that there's something mysterious going on there that has to do with, like, roots with thorns on them or something. But anyway, we'll get to that later. Meanwhile, Lois, you know, who works for Martha Kent, she gets to meet Green Arrow, who shows up at their doorstep to deliver
great
something.
Actor.
Let's
a
check
great
this actor, out.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
Listen to the musical
Green Industries
shit.
Must have caught a strong headwind. Mrs. Jungle. Kent's been waiting for this for weeks. Thanks.
I think my dad.
You're welcome.
Oh, crap. I'm sorry. Just so you know, with a face like that, you can do a whole lot better than playing errand boy to the rich and arrogant. Here.
Thank you very much. What is
your tip?
It's a tip. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Seriously, aim higher.
What is this?
I went to that tip.
Thought I heard the door.
Work
yeah,
that
pledge finally sailed in from Queen Industries. Where's the man who came with it? The courier? Oh, I gave him his tip and sent him on his merry little way.
Got
handsome,
a little harp in there.
Chiseled features with a smile that could light up a barn.
That's me,
Mrs.
baby.
Mrs. Kent, you have a crush on the courier? You mean the billionaire CEO who stopped by to talk about his financial support of my platform? No, Lois, I don't. I've never even met him. And now I probably never will. That was Oliver Queen.
And you like that? Like, you like that?
I loved all the oboe and the xylophone and the harp. That was great.
That crazy Lois, that was a billionaire, not an errand boy. That
gave
you insulted. $2
tip or something.
She's going to have to make it up to him later. Perhaps go to a costume ball with him?
Maybe.
Dressed up as Maid Marian?
Meanwhile, guys, Lana's not sure she wants to live with Lex because she might lose her identity living with this corrupt bastard.
The first thing she can do is lose her identity.
Chloe goes to Clark, naturally, and says, something mysterious happened. We found a dead body. So he's going to go with her to look. There he meets a pretty park ranger.
Nice.
And he immediately finds the body. It's a dude. He's still alive, but he's got all these weird vines and thorns. And Clark hurts his hands on him. It actually, he bleeds from his hands. It's crazy. So we know...
It's stigmata.
Yes. Clark is Christ.
Wait, did they have a Christ on...
Yes. Now, what happens is in the hospital, the guy starts sprouting thorns like... It's very... Remember how scary this was, Bill, when this happens? Is the guy is in intensive care with these thorns. All of a sudden, he sprouts thorns and stuff, and everyone goes crazy. It's very frightening. Let's check it out.
Find his mother. I'm issuing a code red.
Very scary.
What is it?
The world's
Spanish?
Best acting.
Find his mother. I'm issuing a code red.
I love her scream. She just walks into the room, sees thorns sticking out of the guy, and... Very scary.
It's like whenever... It sounds like she found a bad pimple on her forehead.
Find his mother. I'm issuing a code red.
The room is filled with vines. I'm finding his mother.
So Clark figures it out. Hey, this chick is some kind of alien chick. I'm going back to the woods. But not before Jimmy Olsen is out there investigating. And the chick does... I don't know what she does to him. She wraps him in thorns or in vines, basically.
Shoves
right?
her large CGI vine down his neck.
She throws Jimmy Olsen down like she's going to have sex with him. And like shoves this giant vine down his throat. Like... Oh!
Well, vine oil.
Yeah. She's like, you will take it.
Take it all.
Jimmy Olsen deep throats of vine.
Yeah, poor Iceman. So Clark goes to rescue him, but he gets his ass kicked too, because that's the way the show works. He can't defeat the bad guy till the final arc of the show. Not halfway there.
Yes, he's always got to get his ass kicked at least once in every episode.
But the thing is, when he finally defeats this chick, go back to wherever you're from. I can't, because it's not there anymore. And I was a bad person anyway. I was in prison on a desert planet. He goes, the Phantom Zone? She goes, yeah! Oh, wait a second, I know you! And it's like, good lord!
It's a Phantom Zone reunion!
Hey! How you doing?
Now, I can't wait to hear that dialogue over again later in the season when he confronts the next Phantom Zone menace.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see the black guy who was on there, Mustafa.
That'll be the big baddie.
Yeah.
That'll be the last one.
And he even brings up Reyna again. Last time I saw you, your friend was getting stabbed to death. He goes, Reyna? It makes us feel good who have watched all three episodes. Like, I know what he's talking about. I'm really into this show.
Does it really make you feel good?
Yeah, makes you feel warm inside.
It's so deep.
But cut to, not everyone's having a bad time like Clark is, because everyone's at a costume gala. And you have,
that's where I was.
You have Lex there dressed in his Roman centurion outfit. I don't know. Was he Caesar? I don't know.
No, he's Pontius Pilate.
And then who comes walking through the door but Lana dressed as Cleopatra? They knock boots by the end of the episode. They get naked and they do it. That's all
I'm saying. I guess they had to fill time because they wasted like 4 minutes on them undressing each other.
But cut to Clark. He's not about to let this chick... At the beginning of this clip, you'll see that she's got a guy in a Tarzan outfit. I don't know what's going on. Just
in the greenhouse of Lex Luthor's.
For some reason, they're at Lex's house. Let's check it out.
So Tarzan and park rangers both love the wild.
And swinging on vines.
Ride's over!
Who the hell are you?
The gardener. Get out!
I'm so hard and cold.
You can't go home. I can't let you stay. What are we going to do?
We'll have to let nature decide.
And I'll kick your ass.
I'm the gardener trying to trim your bush.
Clark. I'm sorry it has to be this way.
We got to explain what happened there. Clark shoots his heat vision into the sprinkler system. It rains down on some electrical equipment. Kills her instantly.
It rains down on the lighting in...
And it electrocutes her instantly. But that's one thing I didn't mention before. Chloe discovers when the guy is sprouting thorns at the hospital, one of the thorns goes into the power socket and electrocutes the vine, and the vine crumbles into dust. So when she saves Clark, she uses her handy taser gun to save Clark. So they set that hole up for later in the episode. But have you guys noticed that the bad guys, the whole show is all set up, like Zod was all set up, and then he defeats him in a span of 2 seconds, and then
right.
It's over.
Of course.
It's awesome. But also,
Superman's got it easy.
Yeah, he does.
It's all about teen lust because, the rest of the
yeah,
show.
Because at the very end, Lois may make out with our favorite actor, Green Arrow. He's a genius actor. Don't you guys agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she makes the bet with him to shoot the pop can off the dumpster.
Yeah, and if he can hit it, then he can kiss her.
Yeah, and he shoots it, yet he misses to her eyes, but it zooms in on the arrow, and it has the pop tab from the top of the can
yeah,
spinning
around
the
arrow. Yeah, shot the tab off the can, and it's, like, still spinning. It's like, awesome, he's such a great archer.
And we couldn't then have he that smirks. Now, the added smirk is always, like, the cherry on top of the Smallville sundae.
I thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
Yes, thank you, Green Arrow. He's a great actor, and I can't wait to see what happens
next
week.
Thought I made myself clear.
Yes, next week he's running around in his Green Arrow outfit.
Guys, I'm very excited. We actually have Green Arrow here with us in the studio. How you doing, Green
Arrow?
I am fine.
It's good to...
I'm glad to be here.
Is that all you say?
Is everyone having
thought I made myself
time?
Clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
Bill,
okay, Green Arrow, I'm going to have to ask you
please.
To leave.
That is dead on.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Enough of Smallville. We can't wait to see you next week. Let's talk Lost. But before we talk about it, let's listen to a clip.
We have a situation. They have a sailboat.
So they have a boat. Sailing in circles will keep them busy.
They could find us.
I want that boat.
There, Mike. All right, here's the jig. If you talk to each other, you're going to be shocked. If you touch each other, you're going to be shocked. If you're slacking, you're going to get shocked. Matter of fact, you do anything at all that pisses me off, you're going to get shocked.
That guy's a okay? jerk.
Fairly certain our friends have been captured. I suspect that when they see the smoke, they'll send a scout party to investigate. By then, it will be night. When they arrive, I'll ambush them. I'll take 2 of them hostage, and I'll kill the rest.
Oh, good plan.
Yeah,
I love how he's got it all planned out.
Let's see how that works out, Saeed.
Oh, man, I really gotta take this pee.
You really had to go.
Yeah.
Sawyer's making out with Kate. Great scene. Steven, don't talk on the phone during the show!
Back off!
James!
Who?
Put the gun down.
That's my name.
Right
don't
now.
Wear it out, darling.
Put the gun down.
Sure was a lot of groaning in this episode.
I don't think they're coming.
I want you to let me off this boat. I will. I'll shoot you.
Do it, shoot her. Whoa!
Honey, you need help. Ow.
Nice. Trixie from Deadwood. We'll hide way up on the beach about 2 miles in. Jin, you just hang out on the boat. You'll be
safe. I'm
gonna
make this really simple, Jack.
I mean, son.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. Diamond here at Busch Stadium.
That's home, Jack. Right there on the other side of that glass. And if you listen to me, if you trust me, if you do what I tell you when the time comes, I'll take you there. I will take you home.
Why can't you take me now?
I'll take you down. Take you down to Chinatown.
So what do you think he wants Jack to do? Cooperate?
Probably sexual favors.
Kill Sawyer and Kate, maybe? I don't know.
Who knows? But that was the best moment of the entire episode, was that mind screw that Benry lays on him.
Yeah, that Ben, or, yeah.
Benry is in the building.
That basically they have contact with the outside world. And another thing is, does it seem like Kate and Sawyer, are they just messing with them? They don't really have any importance with them, that really Jack is the key? Or are they doing... Because it seems like they're making them do hard labor out there. And what are they doing with them? Henry doesn't seem... Or I mean, sorry, like, Ben doesn't seem too interested in them.
Benry. Yeah. But it also raises the question, if they have contact with the outside world, why are they still there?
Right. Another thing Henry says is, I've been here on this island all my life. Is that true? What does he mean?
You don't know.
But one thing I got to say about this episode is Sawyer was great. I love his sarcasm and how he doesn't take any crap from them. I mean, he keeps getting electrocuted, but he's like a cartoon character. He's got shot last season, and he's always
getting beat up. He's Wile E. Coyote of Lost.
Yeah. Now, let me cut to the thing that... The episode was all about Jin and Sun, and it was called The Glass Ballerina, right? Because I guess the most pretentious title of a show I've ever seen. But it had to do with, I guess, Sun's first lie ever. Is that what it was?
Right.
And her life of lying to men in authority who tell her what to do. I don't know. But anyway, the thing is that Saeed...
She's a slut.
Saeed's plan... He's like, they've been captured. I'm going to start a bonfire and attract them. It's like the worst plan I've ever heard.
Well, see, Saeed's from Iraq. And they're on an island.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work out the
but
same
But I love
way.
It. It's like, we're going to hide in the trees. You go take a nap in the fancy yacht. You'll be safe.
Yes, they wouldn't want that yacht. It's a piece of garbage.
And immediately, okay, here's another thing. Okay, they don't have a boat, right? Well, Do the others have a boat? Okay.
Yes, they had a boat because they took Walt and Mike
one. But they gave it to Walt and Mike. Remember?
Right, they gave them that boat, so they don't have a boat anymore. They just appear on the dock. Where the hell did they come from? Is there like a secret hatch under the dock?
Maybe they're ninjas.
They are ninjas. That's what I want to know. It's like, can they teleport?
Scuba divers.
What's going on here? Okay, so basically the whole thing was about Sun. Was she sleeping with that bald guy?
Yeah, she had an affair with the bald guy.
And her dad...
He taught her English.
Her dad finds out, and her dad wants Jin to kill this guy. And all Jin knows is that this guy stole from him. Jin chooses not to, and then the guy falls off a building anyway. Did that guy kill himself?
No.
Yeah.
Or was he thrown off?
No.
No, he killed himself.
He was thrown off by...
He jumped off because of the whole honor thing and all that.
Well, he was holding the pearl necklace that he was going to give
Bill,
Sun.
That's too dirty for this show. I can't believe it.
Well, he didn't give it to her. He was holding it. If he gave her the pearl necklace, it would be a whole nother... a whole other issue.
Right, right. Okay, I see.
Now, I was kind of wondering if that was kind of a test for Jin from his father-in-law.
I don't know. All I know is her dad's an asshole. I mean, he's a scary dude, isn't he?
I know, that's what I'm saying. He was being followed to see if he would do it, because he didn't, his father-in-law went in there and did it.
Or he probably did. He probably had a henchman do it.
Yeah, whatever.
He had odd job in there to throw him off. So basically we know that Jack has to agree to work with Ben to figure something out. So we'll see what happens next week. But I don't think we will, because next week is all about Locke. It's all about Desmond and Echo and what happened there. And maybe we'll get some Charlie, and maybe Charlie is going to go back on the heroin again. I'm really hoping that.
I hope he does.
Because that's
ODs.
My favorite storyline.
I hate that Hobbit.
Maybe he'll go into a
heroin
coma.
He's the most detestable character on that entire show.
Maybe they'll talk about him and his band again and his brother selling him out.
Sweet.
Maybe they'll do something like that. That'd be awesome. So I hope that it's not a Charlie flashback episode next week. We know from the previews that Desmond's alive. That's another thing. And he's also nude. So we'll check out what happens next week on Lost. I really was pleased with this episode. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Except it's another one of those things. Saeed's stubbornness to do the stupid plan was really annoying. And now they lost this awesome yacht. We'll check back with them in 2 weeks when maybe it'll come back to them. All right, guys, let's check out Battlestar Galactica.
Get out!
Clark, that's so rude. Alright guys, Battlestar Galactica. The way it left off last week is they're about to gun down Roslyn and Zarek and Callie. Jammer lets Callie go. And this picks up right where that left off. Tyrell intercepts a message that basically they're going to take 200 people. And he sees that Callie's on the list. They got to do something to save them. So he assembles a team. They intervene just in time to save everybody. And they kill all the Cylons. Except for Brother Cavill. He's wounded. And the chick goes, hopefully it takes a long time for you to bleed to death. This episode is all set up for next episode. Do you guys agree to that?
Right.
Yeah,
it's the build-up for next week when they finally go to rescue all the people. But there are some interesting things here. Like, for instance, that Deanna is having dreams about some baby. It's a Boomer's baby, the half-Cylon, half-human, that she thinks is dead. And she goes to Amanda Plummer from the Fisher King, who's somehow on the planet now. Where does she come from? But she's like a soothsayer, a fortune teller or something.
Soothsayer.
And she's telling her that God is speaking through her to tell her that this baby's still alive. So it's up to her to find the baby. Now, here's a question I have. Because Roslyn several times talks about how important it is to get Hera, you know, Boomer's baby, off safely. This baby is very important because it's a half-Cylon, half-human hybrid. This is what I started to think. Leoben told Starbuck he took her egg,
ovary,
also his baby, so he created them a baby. I'm starting to think that's a total lie.
Right.
In fact, this kid is probably some orphan, or they're going to get off the planet, and Starbuck's going to think she's her daughter, and all of a sudden her mom is going to go, Casey! And she goes, Mommy! Or something like that. Don't you guys think the guy's totally screwing with her?
Yeah.
Right.
I definitely don't think that's a half-Cylon, half-human baby. And I don't think it's Starbuck's baby. I think the guy's just a fruitcake. It's a total nut job. Boomer is going to meet with Anders. They get bushwhacked by the Cylons because they were alerted in advance from Colonel Ty's wife that they were going to be there. They waste all the Cylons. They got an RPG there. And they find the map. And Anders recognizes his handwriting. He knows automatically that it was Colonel Ty's wife, whose name is Ellen. So they know Ellen is a traitor or something. And I love when they are like, she goes, I'm sorry, I had to do it. You just see in his eyes, he doesn't know, do I kill her? Do I still love her? What do I do? He has no clue. He's just kind of frozen with anger and doesn't know what to do. I know we're going to have losses in this rescue attempt. Are we going to lose some major characters, you think?
It's possible.
You think Colonel Ty is going to survive this rescue?
Yeah,
I think
Ty
like
will.
Lieutenant Gaeta or something like that, some side character.
I keep thinking, I see because of the way Colonel Ty was last season, he cost people their lives and stuff because of his bad leadership. I see him like sacrificing himself or something. It'd be unfortunate because I really love his character. He's such an a-hole, but he's a great character. But
I think he's come through this season,
yeah,
as a better character.
Maybe
I mean, not that he was a bad character before, but he's...
There was a lot of last season where he had nothing to do.
Right,
he was just standing there next to a Dom, and he's like, I guess I didn't get any script pages this week. But they give him a lot to do this week. But like I said, this is all set up for next week, so we'll have a lot to talk about next week. But it's a good episode set up for next week, the big rescue attempt. All I have to say is this. I want to see lots of Cylons get killed, all right? Because Lost didn't give me what I want yet, whereas a bunch of others getting killed. We got Trixie, who's never been on the show.
See, that's
she
what
got
I thought,
shot.
I thought Sawyer should have killed one or two of the guys when he got the gun. Yeah. Let off a couple of rounds.
Yeah, I would have. As for Steven, I'm sorry to tell you this, but...
Get out!
Let's do the news. All right, Vanessa, what do you got the news this week?
The Walt Disney Company on Thursday said it took appropriate action against employees at its Paris theme park who were caught simulating sex while dressed as Disney characters.
Oh, dear.
In a digital video that has received wide attention on the internet.
Really?
Disney would not say whether it had dismissed any of the costume employees featured in the grainy video, which appears to have been shot with a hidden camera at a backstage dressing room at Disneyland Resort Paris. The behavior shown on the video is unacceptable and inexcusable. The video was taken in the backstage area not accessible to guests. Appropriate action has been taken to deal with the cast members involved. Cast members. The video shows Minnie Mouse struggling to free herself as she is grabbed from behind by Goofy and then a giant snowman. Sorry, I'm just getting a visual. Later, Mickey Mouse simulates sex with the snowman, and Goofy does the same with either Chip or Dale, the chipmunks, as laughter is heard on the tape.
It's nice, Dad. Let's do it.
The tape is described on the internet as the Mouse Orgy, in case you want to look it up.
Oh, I will. I will.
I've got to look it up because it sounds really damn funny. Actress Tara Reid, whose botched breast surgery made her...
She's a great actress.
Yeah. Whose botched breast surgery made her a Hollywood laughingstock 2 years ago, underwent additional surgery to repair the damage. In an interview... The actress told the magazine she had surgery last month to reduce the scarring of her breasts and to even out her stomach after cosmetic surgery gone wrong in 2004. Reid unwittingly exposed the disastrous results when she posed for pictures at a November 2004 party and her dress strap fell down. She said, "I was on websites as having the ugliest boob job in the world and I was devastated." Reid said the surgery hurt her professionally and personally. Guys I was dating would be like, "What's wrong with them? They look really bad. You know, you should really get them fixed. So embarrassing. I mean, you definitely had to turn off the lights." And then there was my stomach. Reid said that she had liposuction on her stomach at the same time because she wanted a six-pack. But it all went wrong. Her stomach became ripply and a bulge.
Hey, here's an idea. Exercise!
That would be too easy.
You did not lose weight.
No, that'd be too hard.
Yeah. She told Us Weekly it took her 2 years to regain her confidence and trust another cosmetic surgeon to sort out the problems.
You're
she stated,
"Sweating it and making your heart rate high. Your heart rate was low.
I lost a lot of work. I lost my confidence. This was a nightmare I had to live through." There's your lesson, girls. Don't get freaking. I guess even did she go to like some Mexican plastic surgeon or something?
You racist.
Yeah. Well, no.
Across the border.
Vanessa, are you loaded right now?
There are plenty of Mexicans that aren't bad plastic surgeons.
She got a Tijuana boob job.
Are you an angel?
Teen queen Hilary Duff and her boyfriend, the good Charlotte frontman Joel Madden, sought restraining orders Thursday against two men. One who is supposedly obsessed with Hilary Duff and the other for allegedly being the one to relay his buddy's threats. Papers filed in Los Angeles Superior Court state that Max Doe, which is in quotes, whose age is estimated at 18 or 19, moved to L.A. from Russia about 2 years ago for the sole purpose of meeting and becoming romantically involved with Hilary Duff.
Wow, I guess you got a dream.
The young man allegedly threatened to buy a gun and commit suicide and proposed other drastic measures as well to get close to the 19-year-old singer and actress. The court papers state that Max admitted to being obsessed with her and has stated his intention of removing his enemies, in other words, those who prevent him from being with her. Putting Madden on the defensive, Max has stated his belief that Hillary is in love with him and that Joel Madden stands in his way, meaning he was probably going to shoot him.
Can't believe John Madden is acting like this.
Max's roommate...
He scares women.
50-year-old David Joseph Klein was also named in the couple's petition, which states that Klein was the one who passed Max's foreboding messages along to Duff. Over the past 6 weeks, the defendants have engaged in an accelerated effort to make contact with Hillary, including visits to her neighborhood, to her mother's home, to her boyfriend's neighborhood, to Mr. Madden's concert venue, and direct calls to Hillary's manager.
Oh my God!
Yeah, she's in love with me, but I'm going to go to her boyfriend's home to prove that. Wait,
well,
what?
Huh? They were talking about that.
I'm in love with her sister.
He purchased a gun, and he was making it obvious without actually stating it that he was going to kill anybody who got in his way, including her man, because he believed she was in love with him too, and nothing was going to stand in their way to be together.
I hope he doesn't use violence.
Thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
But he got into the concert. He tried to get backstage to see her boyfriend by posing as a celebrity photographer, but I guess it didn't jive. He didn't have the right. So luckily, because who knows what he would have done.
Right. He could have killed Hillary Duff and rid the world.
No, her boyfriend. It would have killed the good Charlotte dude.
She would have jumped in front of him.
Yeah. No, in slow motion.
No. I hope they catch her sister in the crossfire, too.
Medic!
I thought you were going to say catch her sister's crotch.
That, too.
Right. Yes, that, too.
In China has warned image-conscious citizens against using the rack to lengthen their legs after several such operations went badly. 10 people were reported to have been disfigured after they underwent stretching surgery last year. The operation, which
she's got a great rack.
Which involves breaking the patient's legs and then stretching them on a rack, has become popular among young professionals desperate to climb up the ladder in the country's height-conscious society.
I'm only 5'2". If I was 5'9", I could climb up the corporate ladder so much easier.
The rungs are too far apart.
Leg lengthening surgery is a clinical orthopedic treatment, not cosmetic surgery. It is a surgery that must only be carried out for strict medical reasons and performed in only authorized hospitals. Height is usually listed as a requirement for a job in certain schools in China. Many employers require women to be at least 5'5 or above and men to be 5'7 or above. So they won't even give you a job unless you have a certain height or above. The taller you are, the better your pay. And they're talking about it's also an important factor in dating because Chinese women expect their partners to at least be 5'7 or above.
Why would they create this if everyone is short there?
Damn height discriminatory communist bastards.
I could be the freaking CEO of a company over there.
You could be the ruler of the country.
You're a round eye. They don't like round eyes.
No, I would probably be a big hit because they like the white women. But they have a big scam going on there also right now with height-enhancing vitamins that they're selling. They're peddling off to people, but they're actually
kind of
really
like
risky.
The dick pills
nice,
we get here.
Let's do it.
So I just...
Yeah, those don't work, by the way. Oh, wait, never mind.
I was watching TV the other night at like 3 a.m. I'm changing through the channels, and it's extends...
Yeah, they've already proven it's just a bunch. It's just like vitamins. That's all it is.
It's a placebo.
Yeah.
Let me show you. What is that? Ta-da!
But I've heard something about dealing with height that I don't know which country it is, but they're actually making it against the law for a couple who are under a certain height to breed children because they want their next generations to get taller and taller.
Wow, they make that sound so, you know. Scientific breed children.
That's the way they look at it. They look at, okay, we want our kids to be taller and stronger
like
and better athletes and all that stuff. So they're actually making it against the law. Let's say if you're like 5'4", and let's say even if you marry a guy who's 6 feet, like I married a guy who's 6 feet and I'm 5'4", that's okay because they take the average, but if you're both short, then you're not allowed to have children.
This is so nauseating.
So luckily I don't have to worry about that. And finally, in Ohio, a teenager who put her bra on a car antenna before it flew off and led to a highway accident will be charged with littering. Emily Davis, 17, of Bowling Green, told investigators she took off her bra while her friend was driving on Interstate 75.
Yeah.
James Campbell, who was driving behind the girl, said he swerved to avoid the bra and his car flipped several times.
Oh, bra! It'll cause a blowout!
It was one of those feminists with the frozen bra could have shattered his windshield.
What if it was one of those Madonna pointy bras? It could have
that underwire is going to shatter my windshield. Well,
Campbell broke a vertebra in his neck during the September 26th.
He's a dumbass! It's his fault!
Well, it was at night and he couldn't tell what it was. But
it's a flying bra!
I
think we got a TV show!
His passenger, Jeff Long... broke at least 4 ribs. The State Highway Patrol said that the girl told investigators that before the accident, the men were motioning to them to lift up their shirts. Both men denied, of course, making those gestures. Well, Davis will be charged next week with misdemeanor littering.
They've gone wild.
No, sir, we did not ask them to go wild.
Well, her friend, Tabitha Adams, 17, says she told her, do not hang your bra on the outside because she knew it would fly away. But, of course.
Bras can be expensive. You shouldn't just throw them away.
Oh, hell yeah. They're very expensive. Unless you go to, like, Walmart and get Le Bra or something. But they're, they're like $40-$50 easily.
Okay.
At least the good ones. I got one that one time. It was like $75.
Okay, moving on.
Just
we're guys.
My manzier is quite expensive.
And that's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for doing the news this week. And oh my God, issue a code red.
Find his mother. I'm issuing a code red.
It's that killer flying bra again.
Bill, we got any cult news this week?
No, I think I'm going to pass on cult news this week. Nothing really too interesting is going on in the cult world.
Every week there's no Scientology news. I can't play this.
Like Tom Cruise gets Scientological.
Well, from what I'm gathering, the Tom Cruise Katie Holmes wedding is coming up, so maybe we'll have a story about it next week.
All right. Well, what about some DVDs? We got any DVDs this week?
Yes, we do. Let's do some DVDs.
Ow! Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
Yes, DVDs, baby. What do we got this week?
10 people you'll meet in hell.
Whoa! Hey, Joey, calm down. What do we got this week in DVDs, Bill?
This week we'll be covering DVDs for October 17th, 2006. I'm going to start it off with a film that just kind of was a flash in the pan a few months back that's now hitting DVD called American Dreams, and that's Dreams with a Z, starring Hugh Grant, Dennis Quaid, and Mandy Moore. It's kind of a...
Oh, yeah.
Like a take on George Bush judging an American Idol type show with one of the contestants being a terrorist or something. It's supposed to be a comedy from the director of American Pie and About a Boy.
A biting satire.
But it's got commentaries and some other things. I might rent it just to see.
Get out!
Like, okay, fine. I've heard good and I've heard really bad about it, so I might Netflix it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Next one is for people that either really loved the show or didn't have HBO and wanted to check it out, Big Love, the complete first season on DVD.
Loved it. Great show.
The show with Bruce Dern, Bill Paxton, Harry Dean Stanton. It's got... Gene Triplehorn, yeah.
Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah. Or as I say, Sevigny.
It's got some audio commentaries on it, episodic recaps, previews, and I don't know why this is a big deal, but it's listed under the features, 3D animated menus.
Nice. I can't wait to get this DVD about polygamy, and it's 3D! Woo! You got multiple wives coming at you on the screen. Whoa! Awesome.
Oh, watch out, man!
Watch out! Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Call a code red. next DVD is The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. Considered one of the best American comedies in years. I beg to differ.
That's a great
I guess
thing.
Two people breaking up, live together, and hilarity ensues.
Yes.
I'll pass. I could give a shit. I'm not a chick flick kind of guy. This next one really interests me. I saw this quite a few years ago. It's a film called Clean Shaven, directed and written and produced by Lodge Kerrigan. It's a film about a guy who's a schizophrenic and he's trying to track down his birth daughter after he's released from a psych ward. And it's just, it's a really, it's terrifying.
Dead.
It gets into this guy's head. It's a Criterion release. So it's got an audio commentary with the writer, producer, director, this Lodge Kerrigan, but it's also got Steven Soderbergh on it, who I guess is a huge fan of the
film. Oh my God.
So I'll definitely rent it. I've seen it. I wouldn't want to own it, but I'd like to hear the commentary on it. This is a, it looks like Fox is releasing a trio of classic Michael Caine films from...
Michael Caine.
Yes. from the 60s, but this one I picked out of the three, most notably because it's really just kind of famous for its score by John Barry, and that's Deadfall.
Oh, nice.
They call it a suspenseful, controversial thriller.
High five for that.
I call it a boring film with an excellent score.
Hey, that works,
but,
too.
It's got a cool featurette on it. At least they know where the money is in this release. There's a featurette on it. There's a featurette on it called The John Barry Touch, The Music of a Master. So at least they know that people are going to buy it because John Barry did an excellent score on it.
Not because of the fantastic movie.
No, not at all. For anybody
oh, gee,
that
I'm
watched
sorry, I have an opinion.
The Project Greenlight series, third season on Bravo with Gulager, John Gulager, the director.
Gulager!
They're releasing Feast finally on DVD
finally.
In its unrated form. So people that have wanted to see this movie for 2 years are finally able to see it.
May I say, Bill, that this movie looked like it deserved its release more than the previous two?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually downloaded an early released copy and watched it the other night. And although it's not a great film, it's very well directed and it's fun. It's just a fun movie to watch.
Do you think it could have made them some money in the theater?
It could have made them a pretty good, decent amount of money. I'm guessing, you know, opening, it probably, because it's a horror film, it probably would have been brought in maybe 15, 20 mil, and then it would have tapered off after a few weeks, but it would have brought in enough for them to
justify. They spent like,
$1.5 million
on it or something?
It's unconventional, it's nothing terrific, but it's a fun movie, and John Gulager really does an excellent job at making the film feel claustrophobic.
Now let me ask you this, is this just the film, there's no green light stuff on there?
No, there's no green light stuff on it.
There's no okay. green light season stuff
maybe,
on there.
Maybe they'll release season 3 eventually, I don't know.
I gotta say though, the one girl in it, her name's Jenny Wade, she plays Honey Pie, oh, is she hot. But other than that, I think I'm actually gonna buy it.
Will it be like a cult classic, you think? Or?
I think it will. I definitely think it
Once
will.
Once it hits cable and people are like, man, did you check out that tripped out movie on cable
yeah,
last night?
Yeah, because I'll pick it up next week because I watched the season.
Yeah, I'm very curious about how it turned out because you got to see how many scenes they were filming and they were giving John Gulager a hard time. And you know,
yeah, you
want
to see how
he
wound up as a director. If it,
right.
Because he was so quiet.
And they kept making it sound like Balthazar Getty's character was doing too many one-liners or something. They made it too comical. But we'll see.
Yeah, well, I think what really sealed the deal on it not getting a release is how poorly Slither did in the theaters.
Ah, I got you.
Yeah, it was the comedy horror. I think studios are reluctant to release comedy horror anymore.
They do that a lot where they look at something, this is kind of like it, and that didn't do too well. I'm not going to risk it. Let's release Grudge 2 instead.
We got a big name like Sarah Michelle.
Actually, the lead in The Grudge 2 is Amber Tamblyn.
Nice.
I mean,
hey, it's Joan of Arcadia.
Joan of Arcadia. Next DVD, I picked this one just because I couldn't help but laugh. It's Hard Luck, starring Wesley Snipes, Mario Van Peebles, and Cybill Shepherd.
Oh, that's a cavalcade of
Cybill
stars.
Cybill Shepherd.
I know.
That's a great thing.
Directed by Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, hell
He's
yeah.
He's a fantastic director.
He's great in Heartbreak Ridge.
An action-paced pulp thriller that pits an infamous ex-con on the road to redemption against the police, the mob, and two of the nation's deadliest serial killers.
Not being used to my ability.
Yeah.
Mario Van Peebles is never used to
his ability. This is obviously a direct-to-video piece of shit, but I couldn't help it.
Jump chain!
This next DVD is the remake of The Omen with Julia Stiles and Liev Schreiber.
I actually heard good things about this.
So have I. It's the Omen script. It is the film. Just redone and updated. And I've heard that it's pretty good. I'm gonna rent it just to give it a chance.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Why not?
It's got different, you know, unrated extended scenes, extended ending, commentaries with director, producers, editors.
And it's about the son of Satan, right?
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
Who doesn't love Damien?
Personally, I have to say I can't stand him.
I don't know, is the Antichrist the son of Satan or just...
Yeah.
Well, they call him the son of Satan, but I don't really care.
10 people you'll meet in hell.
Yes, exactly, Joy. Thank you for clearing that up.
She's a very talented comedian.
The next DVD is a film called Over the Hedge. It's a DreamWorks production, a CGI film, with voiceovers from Bruce Willis and Steve Carell, Gary Shandling. There's William Shatner.
From The Apprentice, he did a part in it, remember?
Yeah, two guys from The Apprentice.
Nice.
Yeah, when I'm watching the movie, I'm gonna listen for those guys.
You're going to watch the deleted scenes for those two guys.
Yeah, they're not in the movie.
But I really enjoyed this film. It's kind of a commentary on... our environment, you know, the whole suburban ideals of today, you know, the minivan, the ridiculous amounts of food, it's a really funny movie, and my favorite part of it was the original Ben Folds music, because Ben Folds rocks.
Is my daughter going to love it?
I think she will. I think she'll really dig it. You should pick it up for her.
Cool.
She'll probably watch it more than Zathura.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we keep watching Sephora, the movie with Jonathan Anton. It's crazy.
The last DVD I picked is called Rest Stop.
They showed that on Sci-Fi.
Did they?
Yeah, last weekend.
It's called Rest Stop, unrated, dead ahead.
Nice.
I have no idea what the hell it's about, but it has the picture.
Oh, my God.
The picture is of a woman walking down a road with blood dripping down her legs and an ambulance coming toward her. It looks really, really scary.
It does.
Rest Stop, the last stop you'll ever make.
Nice.
This is so nauseating.
And the guy that directed its name is John Shaban.
Nice.
That's a great name, Shaban.
That is a good name.
And it's only 85 minutes, so I'm sure it's a quick piece of crap.
You can check it out and get in and out of the house and go.
If it was on Sci-Fi, it has to be great.
Bangladesh.
And that's DVDs for October 17th, 2006.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
All right, everybody, that's episode 56 of Nowhere in Mulberry. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to leave some voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491, and we'd like to hear from you. Much like Eugene, it was great to hear from him. We want to know how you're doing, Mystery Man, The Rondu, other people who've called. Damn it, I can't remember, but I'm sorry.
Anyone who's called.
Anybody.
We need some new people
If you are listening to our show right now, say you've been listening to it for a while, you're like, you know, I've never called in the show. I really like the show. I like listening. Call. Go ahead and call us.
Or just say hi.
Send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. That's nimpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Or you could go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There we have all of our episodes on the links on the right. We also have links to our old shows, Mulberry Old School. But also, you could find a link there to our forum. Join our forum. Talk to us about TV shows, movies, anything. Anything at all. Also, Friday night chats, everybody. On Friday nights, we chat here in Mulberry, and we chat with you. We chat with you about anything. 11 p.m. Central, I'd say. That's about what it is. Sometimes get on there a little early. Sometimes we're there. Battlestar Galactica has made me a little late lately, or makes me check out early, but I'll be there, all right? Because let's face it, I'm a very handsome guy.
Handsome? Chiseled features with a smile that could light up a barn?
I light up many bars. I'm an arsonist.
Bars or barns?
Barns. I was hoping you'd let it go, Steve.
Could light up a barn.
Just couldn't let it go, damn it! That's it. I'm going to kill somebody. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here on the show with us. We'll check back next week, episode 57. It's an odd number, so it's going to be a horrible show.
Check you later.
Much like Star Trek, next week... This week was Undiscovered Country, right?
Right.
Next week is Star Trek Generations, so I'm
Search for Spock or some crap.
Yeah. Hey, Search for Spock was good, Steven. Or was it? I don't know.
No, it was bad. It was three, an odd number.
Now, what's the one where they go for the whales? That's the one I want to do.
Wasn't that The Voyage Home?
The Voyage Home. Next week, we're going to go back in time and save the whales. What do you guys say?
Well, as long as William Shatner's directing us.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Green Arrow. All right, everybody. That's the show. Check in next week.
The gardener, get out!
Now this is podcasting!